Concern is mounting amongst Indian Australian communities over the federal government's ban on citizens returning home from India, which they say unfairly targets them. Indian Australians say the federal government has a moral obligation towards citizens stranded overseas. But the Foreign Affairs Minister, Maurice Payne, has rejected allegations of racism. She says the temporary travel bans and the fines and the jail terms that are threatened to be imposed on anyone trying to get home was made on the advice of the chief medical officer.
The experience we had had in the month preceding this decision was that 57% of the positive cases in quarantine had been in arrivals from India. That was up from 10% in the previous month. It was placing a very, very significant burden on health and medical services in the states and territories and through the quarantine program. So it's very, very targeted, temporary period of time. It will be reviewed on the 15th of May.
That's the Foreign Minister, Maurice Payne. We did request an interview with the Foreign Minister, but she was unavailable. There are more than 700,000 Indian-Australians who make up the nation's fastest-growing migrant community. Around a quarter of a million of them live in New South Wales. Dr. Yadu Singh is a Sydney cardiologist and president of the Federation of Indian Associations of New South Wales. Yadu Singh, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you very much, Fran. Thank you very much.
How do Indian Australians feel this morning, knowing that from today, they or their loved ones could end up in prison if they attempt to come home from India?
They are not feeling well. They are reacting quite adversely because many of people who are stuck in India, they actually are family members of the Indian-Australian community. I know that one of our office bearers of the association, whose wife is in Punjab part of India. So there is a panic, there is a worry because coronavirus is a big, big problem in India, and these people are stranded in India. 8,000 of them, and that is causing a lot of anxiety and worries about the consequences, health consequences to those people.
Your organisation says India has been singled out in this decision. In fact, you know, National Cabinet did identify it as the first country to meet the threshold. This is advice from our Chief Health Officer, the threshold of a high-risk country. Do you accept that these are extraordinary measures dictated by an extraordinary and tragic crisis unfolding in India at the moment?
Yes, I have heard the interview by the Foreign Affairs Minister, Senator Payne, that quite a big number of people arriving from India had coronavirus, 57% he mentioned. Mm-hmm. That's true, but we should not forget that these people are actually moral obligation of Australia. They are our people, and they are stuck in a country where coronavirus is rampant. So I still believe that these people need all the help they can get from Australia because they are Australian citizens. Whether they are in India or anywhere else, it is not actually material to me because they need to be helped. Now, remember, these people happen to be Australian citizens and they should have been brought here long earlier and even now because ultimately they are people.
The federal government insists it isn't racism. There has been allegations from some within your community and more broadly that this is a racist response, this notion of threatening people with a five-year jail term or a $66,000 fine. Do you think it's racist to the people who, you know, you mix within the community? Is that what they're feeling?
Well, a large number of people from Indian Australian community have mentioned that word. I don't subscribe to that idea at the moment because I realize that the National Cabinet, the government, has to defend the people living in Australia to not get the problems. But a lot of people have said that. I am not sure I will go that far, but I will only use this. That these people are Australian citizens, and it is the moral responsibility, moral obligation of Australia to do everything possible to look after them. And while they are stuck in India, nothing prevents Australian government or Australia to provide them at least the vaccination to reduce the chances of them suffering from severe disease from COVID.
Have you put that request directly to government, suggested that that be available to the Indian Australians who are stuck there?
I have. The press release has been tagged to relevant government ministers. I was in the media, the the, I think, the Guardian Australia. So I have been talking about this for a little while. So this is pretty well known. I think almost every media people have mentioned that I am saying this, and our people are saying this.
A lot of countries have put a ban on flights on returning. The USA has just the latest to announce it, but many countries have done that. But our government went further with this notion of making it a criminal offence. You know, you could be jailed for 5 years, imposed a $66,000 fine. Is it that element that has offended the community most or concerns the community most?
Most certainly, because right now there is no flight coming from India to Australia, and also they can't come even from the third nation. So who is going to be able to come to Australia from India at this stage? So I was not sure about the language, the timing, the tone of that announcement by Minister Greg Hunt on Friday late in the evening. So this has obviously offended, because not only they are suffering in India, stuck there, then on top of that, somebody announces this policy. It really has offended quite a lot of Indian Australian community members. Not only them. I have read an article in AFR, Australian Financial Review. All the people, Australian people who are in Hong Kong, China, anywhere else in the world, they are feeling and they are saying that this sounds quite odd, that these people are Australian citizens and Australia is abandoning them. And I have heard your program. Ed Husek said the same thing. Even the professors are saying something like this. So, yes, we are talking about this particular announcement from Minister Greg Hunt, and this has not gone down very well.
So why do you think the government has gone that far, this threat of this law to impose fines, using the Biosecurity Act to impose fines or jail term? As you say, there are no flights into the country at the moment. Why do you think the government's taken that step?
I don't know. I don't know what was in their mind before they announced it, but somehow the language, the tone and the timing did not sound very caring, did not sound very compassionate, and did not sound right. There is no way any person struck in India can come to Australia right now. And even if, let's assume hypothetically that they actually do manage to come to Australia, they all have to be in quarantine facility for 2 weeks on their own cost. So I'm not really sure how this announcement is going to be very compassionate or caring for those people who are stuck there. One of our office bearers, treasurer, in fact, his wife is in Punjab, and he was desperate the other day. Anything can be done or not. So I'm not really sure I would go that far. And that is why the expatriates from Australia all over the world have taken a stand. They're worried, they're upset, they're concerned about this particular law. Now, what really means is that Australia is abandoning their own citizens stuck overseas.
The reason is, and you do understand this, we heard the Foreign Minister say that 57% of the positive cases in hotel quarantine at the moment had been in arrivals from India. And hotel quarantine, you know, as we've seen, can leak. Is the issue that there could be another kind of quarantine solution? Would you accept it if the government stood up, I don't know, a tent city somewhere, or put them in unused army barracks or something like that? Would that be?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I have been talking about this too. Now, remember, these people are Australian citizens. Therefore, they are our moral obligation and responsibility. Why can't there be a facility somewhere else, separate from general arrival quarantine facility, and they are there. Therefore, they have less risk or no risk, in fact, to pass on the infection to other people. There are ways to help. There are ways to soothe the difficulties, and that is what has not happened.
Dr. Singh, a lot of, I think plenty of people think that the problem might be that some of these Australian citizens were allowed, given permits, to go to India in the last few months, and that was a risky thing to do. They shouldn't have done it. Therefore, they have to take some responsibility. Is that fair enough?
I don't think so, because they went overseas with permission or the exemption from Australian Border Force. So they followed the rules, the regulations at that time. It is difficult to blame the victims. They are the victims right now, stuck in India. I won't go that far to blame them just because they left Australia, because they were approved to go there. The exemption from Australian Border Force. So I am not going to blame them from that. They went and followed all the rules.
Are most of the 8,000 people who are stuck there people who have gone in recent months? How difficult has it been for people to get home over the last year? There have been DFAT flights stepped up to India. I know there's been around six or so a week in the last A month, I think, or a week, I'm not sure, but there's been an increased number of flights from India, DFAT flights. These have been put on hold. You know, has there been enough access for Indian people to get home?
There have been problems in getting the seats in the aeroplanes coming from India to Australia. So many people have clearly expressed their desire to come back, but there have been no way they have managed to come here. So it's not like they're not trying. They have been trying. In fact, they have tried many, many times. So this wasn't exactly they are stuck there because they want to. No, they just can't come back here because there was no way to come here. The second thing, Fran, is this. 680 people are actually classified as vulnerable. They are actually in dire situation because they can get infection in India and have major consequence. Now, these people should actually be brought here. Efforts should be made by our government to bring them here, these 680 people who are classified as vulnerable. I think that the least we can do is to bring them here, number one. Number two, and if we can't for the time being, at least we should offer them vaccination if this has not been done already. That's my view from the humanitarian point of view. I am not going to go that far to say it's all racist. I don't know, but people are talking about that right now.
This just finally, you know, this is a deeply personal crisis for many in the Australian community. I understand you've lost family members to COVID-19 and some others are sick. It must be very tough watching on from afar in a very safe place as your family struggles over there.
Absolutely. It is heartbreaking because, yes, I have lost three relatives due to COVID and some are quite sick. Now, India has rampant coronavirus problem. Almost like 400,000 people were found to be infected in the last 24 hours. That was a day ago. And more than 3,500 people died. Now, these numbers are underreported. Everybody knows who has any knowledge about Indian situation, including my friends who are in medical profession, that these numbers are underreported. So we are very concerned. We are very anxious. We are very worried because we do not know which way this problem is going to go. And that has been causing a lot of strife, stress, and difficulties for all of us because everybody has family members in India, including myself. So that is a problem for all of us.
Yadu Singh, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran. Thank
you. Our best wishes to your community and their families. Dr. Yadu Singh, a leading Sydney cardiologist and president of the Federation of Indian Associations of New South Wales. We did request interviews with Foreign Minister Maurice Payne, the High Commissioner to India Barry O'Farrell, and the Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews, but none were available.